A New Testament reading from Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 11, beginning to read at verse 1, the triumphal entry. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks in the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Pray that the Lord will add his blessing to that reading from his word. Good morning. It's good to come and share fellowship with you once again. And I must say, you're all looking remarkably well, saying that you've had one less hour in bed this morning. But here we are. Here we are. Another Palm Sunday. The start of Holy Week. Just a few days before Good Friday and a week before Easter Sunday, the most special and important of all Christian celebrations. What do you think about when you hear of Palm Sunday? What's the first thing that pops into your mind when you think of Palm Sunday? Is it the palms? Is it the donkey? Is it the cloaks of the people? Is it the people themselves, the crowds, and the shouting that they made? Is it Jesus? For a lot of people, especially children, the first thing that pops into their mind about Palm Sunday is the donkey. The donkey that Jesus sent for and rode on into Jerusalem. And if I'm honest, that's one of the first things that pops in my mind as well, and I think it has done so since I was a little child. This last week, a friend of mine, some of you know him, Norman Prescott, went into one of the local schools in Wigan, one of the local junior schools, to tell the children the story of Palm Sunday. And he did so by pretending that he was a donkey. He was a donkey called Ezra. And he's told the story of Palm Sunday from the donkey's point of view. And I can believe it. Apparently the children lapped it up and they loved it. And I'm sure they'll remember the story. Mark tells us about the donkey. The colt, the foal of a donkey. And the preparations that had been made beforehand, so the disciples could go and find it just as they'd been told. This tells us that it wasn't a last-minute idea for Jesus to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. It was all part of his plan. It was all part of a plan, a bigger plan, part of God's plan. The donkey wasn't the most important part, but it is important because the Lord needed it. As the disciples threw their cloaks on it, And as Jesus rode it into Jerusalem, it reveals something very special about Jesus and who he really is. The other thing that people remember about Palm Sunday are the palm branches. The palm branches that the people went into the fields and cut down and brought and threw in the road in front of Jesus as he approached riding the donkey. Of course we remember the palms, because I don't know what we'd call Palm Sunday if it wasn't for the palms. But that's not the only thing that people threw in the road as Jesus approached. They didn't only make a carpet in the road out of palm branches. They took off their coats, they threw their cloaks in the road too. Can you imagine the scene? Can you picture it? Jesus riding on a donkey and people waving the palm branches and throwing them in the road and taking off the cloaks and putting them in the road. Why would they do it? Why did they do it? Can you imagine the scene? Jesus on the donkey traveling towards Jerusalem with his disciples following, and with thousands of others, people traveling to Jerusalem, pilgrims on the way to the feast. Picture the palm waving. Picture the coats being taken off and put in the road by excited people. It seems a very strange scene to us today, but picture it. And imagine the noise that they made too. Imagine the noise that the crowd made as they made the way and as Jesus made his way to Jerusalem. Have you ever been part of a big crowd of people? What's the biggest crowd that you've ever been part of? I've been part of big crowds. Have any of you ever been to a pop concert? I have, many years ago, but I've been to a pop concert with all the excited people crowding. I remember going years ago to the Apollo in Manchester and other places, and people excitingly queuing up waiting to get in. Have you ever been part of some other sort of procession or parade? Filled with excited people. Have you ever been to a football match and joined the crowds there? Derek's not in, is he? We're in. Oh, he's there. I was hoping that he'd gone out then for a minute. But the biggest, most excited, noisiest crowd that I've ever been part of was when I went to watch Wigan Athletic beat Manchester City at Wembley. I remember the excitement going there. I remember the noise and the excitement and the anticipation of the people going towards Wembley, up Wembley Way. It must have been the same with the people going towards Jerusalem. All the excitement and anticipation. I remember too the Queen coming through Wigan many years ago. I can remember that crowd, that excited crowd. People waiting with anticipation.
Imagine the hustle, the anticipation, the excitement, the noise they made. Make a great noise from the idle chatter as they walk along. Look at the questions when they saw Jesus coming on the donkey. Someone asked, "Who is he?
Imagine the noise that the people made. Am I not deafening you now? Imagine the noise that the people made as they saw Jesus coming. They would ask, who is it? Who is he? Imagine the noise that the people made with the shouts of Hosanna, Hosanna, as they marched along. Imagine the noise, the shouts of Hosanna, when they realized, when some of them realized and believed who Jesus really was. Though some, no doubt, just got caught up in the excitement of the moment. Many people knew about Jesus. They had seen and heard what he had done, what he had been doing. And some would be really excited when they heard that he'd been in Bethany and he was on his way to Jerusalem. For hundreds and hundreds of years, the people had waited for God's promised Messiah. They'd waited for the Messiah to come and be their promised king and to save them from their enemies and to set them free. When they saw Jesus coming riding on a donkey, they saw the coming of their king, the Messiah, fulfilling the 500-year-old prophecy of Zechariah. Rejoice, shout in triumph. Look, your king is coming to you. He is just, he is righteous and victorious, bringing salvation, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. That prophecy was fulfilled by Jesus. Have any of you ever seen films of Roman armies, Roman legions, or documentaries about Roman armies returning from war, returning from their battles? You see, at the head of the army, Caesar on his magnificent war horse, leading the triumphant soldiers towards the city. In the parade, they're followed by the trophies of war, gold if captured, treasure and other valuable objects. And then in that parade, there are usually people that they've captured along the way. The captives, now slaves, are forced to follow in that parade, forced to obey, forced to serve. They are no longer free. Mark sets out the scene for us of Jesus' triumphal entry to Jerusalem. As Jesus makes his triumphal entry, not on a horse, but on a donkey. A donkey, a symbol of peace, not war. A donkey, a symbol of humility, not pride. Sadly, we live in a world where some people still think that the greatest power is to force others, to terrorize others, and to kill others. Jesus shows us that the greatest victory, Jesus shows us that the greatest power is in the love of God, is in the righteousness of God, is in the power of God's peace, is in the power of God's grace, that it is the power of God's salvation to set people free, to heal and restore and to reconcile us to God. Once when Jesus, or perhaps more than once, but once when Jesus saw Jerusalem, when he saw the people, he wept. Jesus wept, and I'm sure that Jesus weeps today when he sees the state of our world, because there are so many who are still lost, and we know that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Can we see that today, that Jesus still comes to save and to seek the lost? There's a lovely hymn, My Song is Love Unknown, that we sometimes sing at this time of year. And there are many great words in it, but few words for me that sum up Jesus' coming are these words: love to the loveless shown, that they too might lovely be. Love to the loveless shown. Love shown to you and me, so that we might know what real love is and be more like Jesus. When Jesus approached the people through their cloaks in the road and waved palm branches to welcome their king, some gave him a royal welcome, like we would put out the red carpet today. Mark tells us that those who went before Jesus and those who followed behind Jesus started shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Those who truly believed who he was were happy. They were filled with joy, and they rejoiced and they praised God. But as we see from Psalm 118, Hosanna is actually, the word Hosanna is actually a deep, longing desire. It's a cry for salvation. Today, in a lot of our songs, we use it as a word of praise, and it is. But first and foremost, it's a word, it's a cry for salvation. The people were actually shouting to Jesus, "Hosanna, save us, save us now." Psalm 118 is a prophetic psalm. It's a pilgrim song, which points to the coming of the Saviour. Mark uses it to this story, the words Hosanna, to show us who Jesus really is. Jesus saved those who believed in him and who really meant it when they shouted Hosanna. I've often wondered how many of those in the crowd who shouted Hosanna on Sunday were actually led astray by the religious leaders or other people who were actually led astray and shouted, "Crucify him," on Friday. Jesus can only save those who really cry out to him, who really mean it, who repent and ask his forgiveness, and who call on his name with all of their heart. We are pilgrims. We are on a journey too. We're on a journey to heaven, our true home. And we need Jesus because, again, as we sing, only he can unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. He is the gate to heaven. So let us say Hosanna to Jesus. Let us say Hosanna, save us, so that we can be forgiven. So we can have hope in our hearts. So that we can be made new. So we can find strength for each and every day and have our fears washed away. So we can be loved forever and have eternal life in his presence, because he reigns forever as our King of Kings, as the King of Kings. At the beginning of his ministry, we're told that Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem. He was determined to accomplish what he had been sent to do. He was determined to accomplish, to do his Father's work for you and for me. And on the cross, with his arms outstretched in love, he said victoriously, "It's finished." He was saying, "I've done it." And he did it for you and for me. He died for you and for me. And for all those who followed behind him into Jerusalem. And for all those who have followed him since. And for all those who will ask his forgiveness and follow him today. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.